107. I was doing, when I was reading 107 devotionally within the last couple of weeks, I right away jotted down, this is a great Thanksgiving passage that I'd really love to study. So I'm going to be preaching on verses 1 through 3 tonight, and then on Sunday I'm going to do the whole rest of the psalm, which includes 40-some verses. But turning there now, let's read it and then dig into it. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary, and gathered from the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. Now, I thought I'd approach this. First of all, it's helpful to ask ourselves the questions who, what, when, where, why, and a few extras. And so that's how I'm kind of going to organize this message, because if you'll notice in verse 1, do you see the word for shows up twice? That's very important, because first of all, it gives us a commandment, and then it tells us why it's right for us to obey God's commandment. And so the first question we're going to ask is who? Who is this psalm talking about? Who is it written to and for? And if there's commandments that we discover here, who are supposed to obey them? And so looking at verse 1, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Well, who is supposed to respond to this? Verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary. Now, when this psalm was written, it was talking about the Israelite people who had been brought back from exile in Babylon. And we have talked about that many times when we've looked at the prophets, the various prophets, Jeremiah and other prophets. We've talked about how would you feel if the army of Canada, which we're not afraid of, but let's just say we were, and they were ruthless and brutal, and they were ruling everything, but they hadn't conquered Cresco yet, or Lime Springs, or Saratoga, or Riceville. They hadn't gotten this area yet, and yet they were on their way. And God had clearly told us through the prophets that they were going to come, and if we didn't submit to them, that they would annihilate us. And so the people who submitted to them went north into exile, knowing they were never going to return to their homes ever again in their lifetime. Most of them, a few ended up. But a lot of them were going to die because they were going to be gone for 70 years. So they went. Most of them died. Presumably some of the youngest ones were still alive, had heard the stories of Cresco and the homeland. And then now they had returned. And so this psalm is about them coming to the temple and letting the priests lead them in a prayer like this. And the priest would then say, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. The Lord was faithful. He promised that you'll be there for 70 years. I'm faithful to my promise to punish, and I'm faithful to my promise to restore and bring you back. And so this thanksgiving is first of all for them. Look at verse 3. And gathered from, so the redeemed of the Lord, verse 2, let them say this. The ones whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary, so I'll tell you who they are next, verse 3, and gathered them from the lands, because God had dispersed his people not just north. He had dispersed them north, south, east, and west. Verse 3, and gathered them from the lands, from the east, from the west, from the north, from the south, from Babylon, which is east and a little bit north. Philistines are west. Assyria is north. Egypt is south. And there were Jews spread out in all those countries. And so, but God brought them back as he had promised. Sunday you'll find out the process that God went through. And so come Sunday if you're able, and we'll flesh that out. But right now, who? Reasons for thanksgiving. Who should be giving thanks? Number one on your outline if you're filling it out. And the answer is God's people. So then it was the Israelites who had been returned from exile. Today, who is it? Well, many scholars want to make sure that we apply this to anybody who turns to God asking for help and receives it. And I think that's legitimate. So if there is a person out there on this Thanksgiving and they're, okay, the whole world is saying, oh, thanks, give thanks. Well, to who? And we'll come to that in a little bit. But there are people out there who deep down in their souls know that it's not just thanking your lucky stars or something like that. They know there's a God. Now, they haven't come to him yet. They haven't put their faith in him yet. But they still acknowledge him. They will be blessed for that this Thanksgiving. And they're still, as God's creatures, obligated to give thanks to the one who actually gave you all the good stuff that you have. And so, certainly, it applies to any human being. But specifically, today, it applies to us. It applies to every person who has put their faith in Christ, has been reconciled to God, has been redeemed. Redeemed from. So there's a spiritual truth being presented here. When God does something in the physical realm, he's teaching something in the spiritual realm. So all of the lessons that we're going to talk about a lot of them on Sunday, all of the lessons that God's people learn by being punished and physically taken out of their homes and exiled in a foreign land, all of that stuff is a spiritual parable of what human beings do when they disobey God and then they are disciplined or punished by God. And then you'll see the pattern on Sunday. Then when they come back to God, they'll be restored. And that's what's happened in my life. I know that's what's happened in your life, isn't it? I'm assuming it's happened in your life. I doubt you'd be here tonight. Maybe. But can you remember a day when you were exiled, when you were lost? I very clearly remember what that was like. And I know one of our local athletes just came back. I think I can say Clayton Allendick because he just spoke at school, I think, this morning or yesterday morning. And he's going to speak Sunday afternoon to the FCA group here in town. Come to that if you're able to. He is on fire because within the last year, this happened to him. So he's like 25 years old, he said. I bumped into him at the fitness center the other day, and he's just bursting to tell everybody what happened to his life. Because now he realizes that even though things in some ways were going well for him, he was empty and he was lost. And I remember those days well. I was 28 when it happened to me. But that's who this psalm now applies to, and that's why we're interested in it tonight, why it makes such a wonderful Thanksgiving passage. It's every person who has been bought back by God, redeemed by God. And if you look at second half of verse 2, whom he has redeemed, and that literally is to purchase back from the hand of the adversary. To the original group, that was primarily Babylon, but Assyria, Egypt, the Philistines. To us, it is the evil one who had held us captive to do his will. And we have been transferred now out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sin. So this is for us today. And it's people from every nation, every tribe, every tongue. Ultimately, those of us who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ and set free from the bondage of sin and death. So it's people from, you know, all over the world. You know, Clayton was raised here in town, but he had to go elsewhere to Birmingham, Alabama, for it to happen to him. So that's the way God does it. He brings them from wherever he chooses to. Let me just read to you a couple of verses. John chapter 10, verse 16, we read, Jesus said, now, because he's talking to he's talking to his disciples, they're all Jews. And he says, and I have other sheep which are not of this fold, they're not Jewish. I must bring them also, and they shall hear my voice. He's saying, I'm the good shepherd, my own sheep will hear my voice. And Jesus said, I'm going to go to them and bring them also, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock with one shepherd. In John chapter 11, then, verses 51 and 52. Now this, well, Caiaphas, the high priest, said, you know, one person should die for the whole nation. And then in verse 51, we read, Now this he did not say on his own initiative, but being the high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus was going to die for the nation, and not for the nation only, that'd be Israel. Not for the nation only, but that Jesus might also gather together into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. So all over the civilized world of the first century, people would be coming into the people of God. And then I just want to read one more. This is exciting, I think. This is out of Matthew chapter 24, talking about the end times, whenever that is, when Jesus returns, the next big thing on God's calendar, as we try to remind ourselves repeatedly. In Matthew 24, beginning in verse 29, this is Jesus speaking and describing his return. Jesus said, but immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. So, look at Psalm 107. And do you know one of those principles that we talk about in the Old Testament? There was a short-term fulfillment, an immediate fulfillment. What was that? The people returning from exile, from Babylon. That was the immediate fulfillment of that prophecy. What was the midterm fulfillment of that prophecy? Not immediate, but a little later, Jesus came to the earth and said all the things that I just read to you. So he began redeeming people and saving people and bringing them home. What is the ultimate fulfillment, the long-term fulfillment? Matthew 24, Jesus returned. Then it will, every one of his redeemed people will be home in their final home. Isn't that fun? So, I remember where I came from. Just pause for a moment and think of where you came from. And just think about how God brought you to himself. Maybe you'll think about other things. Who was it that was praying for you? Who was it that was wanting you so badly to come to God? And then wouldn't that be a good thing to thank him for? So give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. So, who? God's people. What? What should they do? We've already seen. What should they do? What's the commandment? Give thanks. Give thanks. Again, this was probably a common liturgical phrase that the priests in the temple would use. They would say, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And then probably everybody would repeat, like they do in some of the churches that we are familiar with. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And then the priest, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And the people would chant back, his loving kindness is everlasting. And it's remembering where we came from that leads us to give thanks. All right, who do we give thanks to? Again, the world is saying, you know, just be thankful. Just get an attitude of gratitude. Well, to who? Who are you thanking if you're not a believer? Well, to whom should we give thanks? First one, give thanks to whom? To Yahweh, to the Lord, the living one, the eternal God, the one who created everybody, everything. We all should be serving him and acknowledging him and praising him and thanking him. And that's why you came tonight, because that's what you want to do. All right. Now, this is implied when and where. It's not stated, but when should we give thanks to God? Where should we give thanks to God? When you come to church? No, always and everywhere. That's what we've been talking about with our abiding. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, we should be in prayer, we should be abiding. And then a lot of that, as we studied Sunday, especially if we're feeling anxious and we realize we need him and we cry out to him for help, we're going to, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We're going to say, Lord, okay, I'm really nervous about this, but I know you're in this. I know you put me in this situation. So, Lord, please help me. And thank you for this, because I know you're going to do something here that you wouldn't do in an easier situation or a different situation. You put me right here at this moment. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for your promises that you'll see me through this, that you'll give me the grace that I need to do your will right in this. So always and everywhere. Not just the fourth Thursday of January, or of November every year. It's every day, throughout every day. Now, I got thinking about one of the craziest places for someone to be given thanks to God. And an unlikely place, really, because he's in quite a predicament. So let me read to you. Just listen to the words of Jonah chapter 2 and listen for his prayer. So he's in the stomach of the fish for 3 days and three nights. And Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish. Now listen to his prayer. And he said, I called out of my distress to the Lord, Yahweh, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. So I was as good as in the grave. And you heard my voice. You had cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me. The breakers, the waves, and billows passed over me. And so I said, I've been expelled from your sight. You've thrown me away. Nevertheless, I will look again toward your holy temple. Water encompassed me to the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. He's at the bottom of the ocean in the stomach of a large fish, weeds wrapped around my head. I descended to the roots of the mountains, the very bottom. The earth with its bars was around me forever. He thought he was going to die. But you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who regard vain idols forsake you their faithfulness, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord. So once he had turned, repented, then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up on dry land. So he could have read chronologically Psalm 107 and said, yeah, that's me. And that's what we're able to do as well. All right. And this is why, again, commercial, why being in God's Word regularly just brings this to your mind daily. That will help us. Oh, that's right. I should be thanking God. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Why should we give thanks to the Lord? Well, he tells us. Look at verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for, here's the reason. Letter A, he is good. He is good. Kim and I watched a holiday romantic comedy recently. If it says, you do what you want to do. If it says 7+, we go to the next one. We can't handle those anymore. If I had little kids, I would, or young kids. But 7+ isn't making it for us. And then, anyway, we found one that really wasn't cheesy, really, at all. It had really good acting. All the parts were good acting. And it was a good redemptive story. But in it, interestingly, the guy that's fallen in love with the girl, he's, you know, this callous millionaire and all that, but he's fallen for her and she's fallen for him. And he takes her to a park and to relive a childhood memory of hers. Maybe you've seen it. You're nodding your head. So he brings her to the park, and it's like the most romantic thing ever. And she's just, oh, I can't believe it. But then she's looking at the simple thing that really was her thing, so he really understands me. But then something else happens that he orchestrates, and it's not her at all. And so she's just offended. So that's the big crisis that enters the movie at that point. They're going to never see each other again, never talk to each other again for the time being. And have you ever received a bad gift? I like to get gifts. I really enjoy opening gifts. Kim's mom, when she was living, used to give so many gifts. And she would buy them all year long. And she would think we would like it. And what my experience was, I loved opening them. Most of them didn't last very long in the house. They weren't sometimes what I really wanted, although I enjoyed the idea and the expression of the love. But we've all done that too, haven't we? You've received a gift that, like, the other person thought would be really good, and it just really isn't you. Because they don't know you as well as maybe they think they do, or as well as you wish they did. They don't. And so we make mistakes and bad judgments, and the good news is God he's not capable of giving you a bad gift. And I'm thinking of James 1, chapter 13, where we're told that, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing bestowed, every single good gift is from above, coming down from God, the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation, shifting shadow, which simply means he does not change. He's always good, and every gift he gives us is good. Why is that a reason for thanksgiving? Because it's what we really need. The man in Bible study this morning, we're talking about some stuff, and one of them asked the question, does God know what you need before you ask him? What's the answer? Yes, the Bible, Jesus says it in the Sermon on the Mount. He knows what you need before you ask him. So the answer is yes. So then it begs the question, why do we have to ask him that? What's the answer? There's probably more than one. He knows us perfectly and fully, counts every hair on your head. He knows you exhaustively, completely, in every way. So why do we have to ask him? Well, one of the answers probably is, and we tried to talk about it as like, what would you do as a parent, and your little one is screaming and crying because they want something, and you're saying no, and what you know what they really need, and you want them to, but you want them to ask you for it, so that something goes on, something that is necessary for the relationship, and what the parent is trying to accomplish in the little one Something's happening that won't happen if that process doesn't take place. You see? And so when the child says, well, I want to open my presents now, you know, and you say it's 5 o'clock. Well, I want to open them now, and it's only 2 o'clock. And you say, no, we're not opening them now. And they're crying and screaming. They don't understand. But then they, well, why? And then you say, because your brother's not going to get home till 5 o'clock. And that's what we do every year. And he knew that. And that's why he's working right now. He's going to be home. Then we're going to open. Then everybody will be happy. You know, you're teaching your kid a whole bunch of lessons. And all of a sudden your child stops asking, let me open it now. And maybe they start asking other questions or crying about something else. But God, of course, he knows what we need. But we have to ask him so that that relationship can grow and he can teach us stuff even while we're praying. Like, that's not the right thing to be asking for. Trust me, I love you. I'm not going to give you a bad gift. I can't. And I'll turn to a passage in Romans in just a moment that'll reinforce that. But let's look back at verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, first of all, for he is good. Now there's another for there. This is the next reason. For his loving kindness, or some versions just say his love. God's love. So it's that Old Testament Hesed type love that is perfect. It's committed. It's doing what is best for you, whether you like it or not, or whether that's what you think you want. So that lasts forever. So letter B would be, the reason we should thank God is because he's always good, and he's going to give us good gifts, even when it doesn't feel like it, even when we're going through something we don't understand, the trials we've been talking about lately. He's still good, and his gift is good. And it's what he's going to give you is better than what you think is going to make you happy, if it's contrary to his will. His love is eternal. Now for that, I want to read from Romans chapter 8, familiar verses. And in the same way, the Spirit helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes with groanings too deep for words. I quoted this on Sunday. So I'm praying like, let me open my gift at 2. And God's saying, no. And then the Spirit saying, Father, what Tim really needs, as you know, is this. So, you know, I'll do my work of conviction, and I'll do my work of discernment and all of that. So the Spirit intercedes, and he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to God. And we know that God causes then all things, even we don't understand them and we can't open till 5. We know that God's causing all these things to work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. He's got a plan for our lives so that Jesus might be the firstborn among many brethren. We're all being transformed into his image. And whom God predestined for that purpose, these he called. And whom he called, he also justified. That's when he redeemed us. And whom he justified, he also glorified. He also has made it so that our full redemption and resurrection is certain. So God is good, and his love is eternal. So we thank him. And then finally, the end of verse 2 and 3 just simply tell us, we're almost done here, so hang with me. Verse 3, and gathered from the lands, from the east and from, the end of verse, of the second half of verse 2, whom he redeemed from the hand of the adversary, and whom he gathered from all the places that he took us from, all those broken places, and he, He brought us to Himself, so He is the Redeemer. All right. I forgot the cross on my desk. I went into my office. That light's one of the ones that's burnt out, so I didn't grab my little cross. So I've got to make a decision here. Give me a break. You just sit there and think about how... All right, this is what I was talking about Sunday. If my relationship with God is off, because I'm so anxious, I'm so overwhelmed by my problem, my situation, life right now is just so stressful, let's say. If I am not handling that right, it's connected to my relationship with God. So if I'm super anxious and I'm not really going to Him and availing myself of the help of His Spirit and hiding God's Word in my heart and letting His Word abide in me. So all those verses I'm familiar with, and this is why you got to memorize Scripture and read Scripture, so you've got all of these verses that will instruct you in those times. But when you've got them, I know Philippians 4, 6, and 7, I know I need to, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let my requests be made known to God. I know that He works all things together for good to those who love Him. I know all that. I know that it's true. Now I've got to do it. Remember Sunday, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And that thanksgiving is the thing that will pull us up straight, and it's connected to the throne of God's grace. And that's what's going to get me there. The thanksgiving part is that is just a necessary ingredient in it that you just got to have, or it's not going to be right. Your pumpkin pie is not going to be right if it misses a key ingredient. You know, the dumplings, the mashed potatoes, the gravy, it's not going to be right if you leave out some key ingredient. It might look good, but it's going to taste terrible. And similarly, this thanksgiving thing is the thing that I have found to be true. That it really, really helps me in my praying and my experience of God's peace once He gets me straight up and down. I hope that's a helpful illustration for you. So here's what I want to do. We have never done this before, and it's such a simple idea. So I'm excited about it. Here's what I want to ask you to do. Just hear me out and then do it. Bow your heads in a moment. I will read the passage to you again. It's very short. You hear the Word of God. And then I'm going to lead you through a time of prayer, of thanksgiving. I will coach you. I'll just say, Lord, and I'll be praying. And then I'm going to give you a chance to have some moments of quiet right after I say kind of the category. And then you just spend some time in prayer thanking God and obeying this passage. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love is everlasting. Okay? Will you bow your heads, please? Let's go to the Lord in prayers of thanksgiving. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the adversary, and gathered from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Heavenly Father, hear our prayers of thanksgiving. Thank You for life. Thank you for health. Thank you for our physical bodies, even though they're not perfect, Lord, and they're aging and they're changing. Thank you for them. Thank you for our senses that allow us to interact with your creation and enjoy it and see and taste and feel your goodness. And as we eat whatever we eat tomorrow, turkey, as we do that, Lord, help us as we look at the all of the variety of foods that you have so richly provided for us. Lord, help us to be thankful and to see in that the variegated grace that you have for us. Father, thank you for the people in our lives. Thank you for our family, our friends, Christian brothers and sisters in our church and beyond that. Thank you for the help you provide in every area of our life. Lord, thank you for Jesus, who he is, everything that he's done, everything that he does for us as we try to abide in him. Lord, thank you for the gift of faith, the gift of joy and peace and love. Thank you for helping us abide in Jesus. Lord, thank you for where we have come from, all that you did in our lives leading up to that time when you drew us to yourself. Thank you, Lord, for the unique, wonderful way that you have worked in our life. Thank you for hope, that we can trust in your promises, that Jesus will come again, that we will be raised from the dead, that you will bring us home finally. And in the meantime, Father, thank you for the opportunity to bear fruit for you and to bring you glory while we're on this earth. Thank you, Lord, and help us to be mindful and thankful this entire weekend, please. Help us to taste the goodness of that so that we'll do it throughout the year. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.